둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the series, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can get great new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do leave the series a rating and a review wherever you're listening from. We've had some great guests dropping by lately, including Gaden Matarazzo. He plays Dustin Henderson on Stranger Things. We talk about the final season of the Netflix show. Felicity Jones and Kerry Condon dropped in to talk about Train Dreams, their movie with Joel Edgerton on Netflix. Abe Sylvia, the showrunner and writer of Palm Royale, discussed their second season on Apple TV. Pearson Fodey, who you've seen in The Wrong Paris and A Very Merry Xmas, that's playing now on Netflix, he dropped in. We also talked with Audrey Nuna. She's one of the voices of the K-pop Demon Hunters band Huntrix. Penelope Ann Miller and Erica Christensen were here to talk about After All, the new indie film that they're in. And Florence Welch, lead singer of Florence and the Machine, discuss her latest record, Everybody Scream. That's what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, the great Sarah Bareilles. It's been a bit since Sarah's been on here, but she's back to talk about executive producing the new Apple TV documentary, Come See Me in the Good Light. It follows poet laureate Andrea Gibson and their wife, Megan Folley, as they navigate an incurable cancer diagnosis with humor, honesty, and love. Sarah shares how discovering Andrea's work during her own period of grief pulled her toward the project at exactly the right moment, how she and Brandi Carlile turned one of Andrea's poems into the film's original song, Salt and Sour and Sweet, and why collaborating on Andrea's words was unlike any songwriting she had ever done before. She also chats about her upcoming album. It's her first since Amidst the Chaos in 2019, including how grief shaped the writing, how Andrea's work even appears on one of the new tracks. Plus, Sarah's going to reflect on the healing power of comedy while revisiting Girls 5 Eva and hints at hopes for more stories with the group down the road. All that and more as we talk about the documentary Come See Me in the Good Light. It's Kyle Meredith with Sarah Bareilles.
Kyle, I'm so envious of your wall.
They do the heavy lifting for me every time. Like, it's so much better to look at this than, yeah.
Oh my God. Well, you really put Prince right in the sweet spot there too. So
it was literally built around him, honestly.
Oh my God. It's great.
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well. It's good to see you. It's been 6 years since we last spoke.
I like to talk to people once every 6 years.
That's the thing. That's what everyone knows about you, obviously. It's
a brand.
It's you've got that market cornered, I believe. That's no, but seriously, this project that you're a part of this time, Come See Me in the Good Light. What an incredible film, right? What a beautifully heartbreaking, beautiful film.
That is. More.
So you're the executive producer. That's the place to start. How did you get involved?
This feels like a total cosmic gift. I ended up at Andrea's show in Colorado. I happened to have been in Colorado during the time when they had those two shows that ultimately ended up being, I think, their final shows. They're featured in the film. I went as a fan. I was a fan of Andrea's. I was a fan of Tig Notaro's. And so I went and got a ticket and just happened to also run into Glenn and Doyle and Abby Wambach while we were there. So I had done their podcast. We were not, you know, we didn't know each other that well, but it's like, I think I'm looking at you across the show right now. And then we spoke to each other and we talked about, sorry, my dog, no barking. We talked to each other about our love of Andrea's work. And then a couple weeks later, I got an email inviting me to join the executive producing team for this film. And I didn't know there was a film. I didn't realize any of this was happening. And it just felt like a tremendous gift. When I got introduced to Andrea's work, I'd been going through a lot of grief in my own personal life, loss of friends and some other personal issues going on. And I just have found their work to be so medicinal that I felt like any way to have proximity to what Andrea was doing and any way to like use whatever I have to help amplify their work was a fast and furious yes.
So you knew the weights of what the story would be. Did you know that at the time?
I didn't know until we were in sort of conversation around, you know, sort of like the nitty gritty that, you know, when they started filming, Andrea had said to Ryan, you know, you're going to film my death. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the ins and outs of their diagnosis or exactly where they were in their health journey. But I knew that it was hard. You couldn't really deny how palpable the resonance of Andrea themselves, but also their work was and continues to be in the world, mm-hmm. especially being at a show. I'd never been to a poetry show. I'd never gone to a spoken word show. And it felt like a full out rock concert. It was like people were crying and you know, saying lyrics back to Andrea on stage as if they were, you know, singing their favorite song. It was transcendent. It was unbelievable.
They were one of those personalities, right? That's just, we were talking earlier today here and had brought up that Andrea had been here at WFPK here in Louisville, came in one day ahead of a show and everything. And for all the in studios that we have here, like that one's still talked about, you know, just for the stuff that you're saying.
Yeah.
And, but then to go into it, you know, as I was reading the production notes and maybe it was Tig or Ryan that said, you know, trying to figure out what to call this. And I think they landed on a comedic love story about mortality, uh-huh. which I is a pretty perfect summary of it. So you get involved and eventually you do realize what this is all leading up to. And then they say, can you write a song? Is that how it happened?
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of presented early on, as a possibility. I think they had always, Ryan White, the director, and Andrea had always conceived of doing an original poem for the film. And then I think, especially once Brandi Carlile and I were on the team, it felt like a pretty perfect baton pass to see, like, is there a world where Andrea's work gets to sort of live on in this other form too? Like to what, it's sort of an interesting parallel of like watching them sort of transform and then watching their work transform as well. And yeah, after I watched the film for the first time, I was just like speechless at the power and the just how moving I found the intimacy of this portrait of Andrea and Meg's love, and also Andrea's just ability to be devotional about life, that finding that even in great pain, there is still great beauty, and in great tragedy, there can still be great love and great life. Mm-hmm. So I just was really moved by their work, and very quickly started kind of doing the jigsaw puzzle of this, moving around the couplets and seeing what would rhyme, and trying to make, I knew Andrea wanted the end of the film, you know, that to people to leave the movie theater uplifted and hopeful, because Andrea was all about, you know, inviting people into their higher selves. And so it felt right to write something romantic and hopeful and also sort of earthbound and gritty. And, you know, hopefully we threaded the needle in their honor.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sarah Bareilles.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, even taking out some of the context a little bit about how you write a song, because here you are in a collaboration, not just with Andrea's words, but with Brandy as well. Usually a collaboration, you know, you're starting from square one, and that wasn't really the case with this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there's much more to say about how the puzzle pieces come together, but I, you know, it is, again, an interesting way to write a song that I'd love to hear about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was interesting to sort of embark on that process, that type of process, because that, you know, that's not how I usually work. I also usually am writing my lyrics. So it was interesting to start from this template where, you know, there was a lot to work from and a lot to draw from, and to be given like carte blanche of just like, here's a bunch of incredible poetry. What can you make from it? I mean, it was really exciting. And yeah, Brandy, I think I sort of did like a first draft and then sent it to Brandy and got her feedback. And she always has, you know, really sage advice and wise kind of perspective. So it was really helpful. And then it was pretty quick. It was really, really, it was a fast collaboration. And then we were scrambling to get it into Sundance. So we got one version of the song done for Sundance, and then we eventually got Brandy on the song, which was always the goal. So yeah, we both get to sing Andrea's incredible words, and it will live on, which is just a beautiful gift.
You all sound perfect together, by the way. It's one of those things that's like, how has that not happened yet? You know, that's
She is not hard to sing with, let me tell you. Yeah.
Where was that for you? You had mentioned a little bit. So I do want to back up, because the last time we talked, as I said, was 6 years ago for your most recent record. And you've talked about this a little bit in other interviews too. It's like you had been in a darker place. So had you already started writing before this? Was this one of the things that kind of brought you back to writing?
I had started writing before this. It was, yeah, you know, seeing Andrea in Colorado produced one of the songs, not just Salt and Sour and Then Sweet, but there's another song on my upcoming record that feels deeply important to me that I don't think would have happened had I not gone to see their show. I feature Andrea on that song. I had asked them to read an older poem of theirs. And so I've got Andrea's voice on the record, which is really meaningful. But this whole record is just, it's really, you know, my attempt at processing grief. I've personally gone through a lot of loss, personal loss, over the last 5 years. And I think the pandemic as like the larger context for just like, what the fuck happened? You know, like, I think I've been one of those people that has not quite known what to say about what we're witnessing until now. And it's become my most personal record. And yeah, it feels right that Andrea is a part of it.
I was thinking back too, because when we had that conversation, of course, no one knew what was on the way, right? We didn't know what we were going through. And you were talking about, you know, working with T-Bone and kind of the bucket list stuff. You never said this, by the way, but I sort of got this feeling at that time. I remember thinking and talking about it, and that maybe this was going to be the last record for a while. You know, and I don't know if that's just me projecting or whatever, but without knowing what you were going through, I wasn't really surprised that there was time in between until I learned about that stuff, you know, because selling records is hard and you have this whole other life, you know, with film and television and Broadway and everything. Like, you know, hindsight's, anything could happen in hindsight too, but do you think there would have been a follow-up record, or was that sort of put on the back burner?
Gosh, it's so hard to imagine at this point. I just was so profoundly changed, as we all were, by going through the pandemic. I just don't, everything, all my perspective shifted. Mm-hmm. And it stopped feeling so urgent to, like, I don't know, add a record to the mechanism so I can stay. Like, I just don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, what I really care about is making things I love that matter to me. And apparently I just work very slow. I just can't do it that quickly. I don't know. I guess, especially I've lost now two of my very best friends over the last 5 years. And especially in light of mortality, it just, like, who cares?
Sure.
Who cares? I just care about making music that matters to me. And my deep hope for the music is that it resonates and brings comfort to someone else. And I don't know. Yeah. Beyond that, it's so far out of my hands. I can't even begin to, like, you know, try to have any control over that. It's an illusion of control anyway.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Sarah Bareilles.
To do a record that is processing grief, I mean, does the record bring you out to the other side? Do you find the other side and then start writing the record?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's, it's that thing that music does, which I think poetry does too, which is why I think I found Andrea's work to be so medicinal. It's like, music is also medicine. And so I think that having a place to put some of these just really big feelings and huge life-changing experiences, even to scratch the surface of that and place it somewhere, has been really helpful. Yeah. And I'm still, you know, I think, as so many of us are, like, processing grief. I think that we're culturally at a moment where I theorize that, like, that's a lot of what we see going on, is that people don't know what to do with their pain. And so it comes out sideways. And, so hopefully this record and this film is an incredible tool to help, you know, touch your own pain and know that you're not going to disintegrate beneath the weight of it, that, like, you can hold it.
What an idea. Mass grieving as a society without anyone putting the magnifying glass on and saying, this is exactly what happened. I mean, I hadn't really thought of it like that. I mean, how long does it take, you know, a decade, right?
I think what it takes is community. And I think we're up against a huge hurdle, because culturally we are, you know, not only we're given so many opportunities to stay alone and on our screens and not in space with other bodies, that I think, you know, grief in particular is an incredible teacher around this. It's like, grief is not meant to be carried alone. It's impossible to do it. So to really, like, metabolize the experience, you need other people. And so maybe we're just being taught how much we need each other.
Not saying they buy into this or don't, but there's the futurist Ray Kurzweil, who had made some predictions about by 2031 or two, we would be more of the utopia, sounds hyperbolic, but, you know, more towards that society that a lot of us dream about, because we would have to go through something. And that was before we went through something, you know, so.
Doesn't it seem like we're still going through something, Kyle?
We got a few years to get there, a few years to sort it out. You know?
I'm a hopeful person. A hopeful person. I believe in the goodness of people more than not. So I think there's still a lot of wonderful people doing wonderful things in the world.
Yourself included, by the way. And we've talked a lot about music, but even something like Girls 5 Eva and the comedy that you put out into the world, you know, now really considering at a time, I love these past few years. I mean, kudos to you for making one of the funniest shows that has existed.
I agree. I can take no credit for it. That actually, you know, we shot the first season in the fall of 2020 and my best friend had just passed away. And that forever will be like one of the more sacred experiences of my life, not only because it felt so incredible to get to go to work with other people. I mean, like we were all, you know, basically on house arrest, like no one could leave their houses. And so we got to go to work with other people every day. It was just such a gift. But then I will never, it taught me how unfrivolous comedy is, how important, how, again, medicinal it can be. And it's life-saving at that time for sure.
I had Renee Elise Goldsberry on recently because she put out a record, which you wrote a great song for. And I badgered her about there needs to be more story. There needs to be more story to those characters. And she mentioned something about maybe at a mall in 10 years, we can get a reunion.
We just keep getting older and older and older. I'm into it. Let's do it.
And malls keep going further and further away, but still you find one.
Yeah, man. What's great? I'm into it. Sign me up. I'll sign the contract today.
Just need the story and the people. Yeah,
it's fine. We'll figure it out.
Make it happen. In the meantime, Salt Then Sour Then Sweet is such a beautiful song that we're already playing here in town. And I cannot wait to hear what the rest of this record sounds like. Is this a next year thing? Are you allowed to say any of that?
I'm hoping it's next year. Yeah. I mean, I've got a couple more days in the studio next week. It feels like I feel like the record at this point is still like missing a song, but I don't know what it is yet. So I'm still kind of trying to get it all shipshape. But yeah, my major goal is to get it out next year and get on the road and go start singing songs for people again.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can talk about that record then too.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Come see me in the good light, being a part of this whole thing. What a wonderful project.
Thank you. I agree. Thanks so much for highlighting it.
My thanks to Sarah Bareilles. You can also find our previous chat that we alluded to in 2019 in this series as well, to search for Kyle Meredith with Sarah Bareilles. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you get new interviews just like this one every single week. It's Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Juliana Hatfield, The Pixies, Robin Hitchcock, Giant Sand, Elton John, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Old Crow Medicine Show, Rhiannon Giddens, Jessica Lee Mayfield, Pearl Jam, John Coltrane, Leon Bridges, Norah Jones, David Bowie, Prince, and my interviews with Amy Berg, who did the new Jeff Buckley documentary, Jewel, and actress Elizabeth Perkins from Big and Weeds, etc. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
All right, thanks, Kyle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.